is Greg Lancaster, and I trust that you enjoy this teaching from God's Word, equipping the saints to do the work of the church to bring God's kingdom here on earth. Enjoy.
We are going to go right in today. We've been talking about the heart of Nehemiah, the strategy to rebuild the church in America, or possibly build her to the point where God wants her to be. And it's being revealed to the heart of Nehemiah in the context here. And he's going through, this is Nehemiah chapter 9, and he's going through this process of repentance. Personal repentance has already happened. Now he's actually taking the entire community through repentance at this point, God's people, because they've already separated themselves, as we said earlier. So this is God's people. Mm-hmm. Judgment mm-hmm. begins in the house of God, and we're the building of God. So don't think it's the building up the street. He's talking about you and me. We've got to deal with this. And so in Nehemiah chapter 9, I'm going to go right into this thing so we can kind of make sure we can cover as much as possible. Is Nehemiah 9 chapter 34, when he says, listen, our kings, our leaders, our priests, and our fathers did not follow your laws. I mean, it covers everyone. Mm-hmm. It's when these kind of things happen to a nation and to a whole part of God's people, understand, it wasn't because one person sinned. It's because everybody was going in that direction. And God's warning, he says, they didn't even pay attention. They didn't even pay attention. He says, our kings, which is our government, our leaders, our priests, our fathers did not follow your law. They didn't even pay attention to your commands or your statutes, warning them. You warned them to be able to keep them. And it's just so important to understand that, first of all, that's how you end up in these places. So we need to pay attention. Is there a warning going on? Yes, there's a warning going on. If you have not yet heard all the things that we've been saying and others have been saying, and Morningstar Ministries, Rick Joyner's been saying, I'm not going to go through all the different ones. You can find them at vfntv.com and click on the torch. But first of all, understand this. To not warn God's people, even if they're not paying attention, that's not your place. So many people judge the effectiveness of their ministry being right or not based on how people respond to what your ministry is. Mm-hmm. And your ministry is unto the Lord. It's not unto man. God tells you what to do, and you deliver what God says to men, and men benefit from what God is doing amongst us. All the glory goes to God because it's God.
That's right.
And over and over and over again in history, God's people have been warned. Think about it. They've been warned that they were actually facing troubles and they didn't pay attention. They didn't pay attention. So don't think it's not feasible or possible that the disaster could be on the edge of your reality. And you look around at everybody and it's like, hey, they're talking about the next whatever, but they're not talking about God at all. Hmm. And right now, you know, those that call themselves God's folks, they're not, a lot of them, most of them aren't paying attention. 97% are robbing from him, according to George Bonner. 97% are not picking their Bibles up at all. And if they are picking their Bibles up, which is only like 19% of those or whatever, or 17%, only 3% of that is even doing what he says. Mm-hmm. This is not a good place to be in right now. So it is possible for somebody and a complete nation to ignore God. It is possible to be a lone voice crying in the wilderness and eating locusts and honey and looking all weird and stuff. But understand this, that you are held accountable. If God has called you to warn and he's shown this to you, you understand you're going to be held accountable before God for not doing it. Don't look for people's response to affirm what God's called you to do. Sometimes their response is going to be, you know, nothing. Sometimes their response is going to be to ship you off somewhere else and try to find you some other place. This is, you know, a prophet in a gathering that is in a rebellious gathering, which most people refer to as a church, but you figure it's a gathering of members of the church. You know, that if that leader is in rebellion, they will ship that prophet off to somewhere else. They will just basically say, you know, did you ever think about going to that place on the other side where you can't reach, your voice can't reach my ears anymore? You're really bothering what's going on right here. And that's what they did. And they stoned the prophets. They did these different things. But understand this, that he says very specifically, and so you can't judge based on, just do what God's told you to do. You know, somebody told me once, they said, you know, saying what you're saying is going to, you know, it doesn't do well for ministry. And it's like, really? Telling what God tells you? Well, that's
say
kind
that
of,
again.
I kind of read about that in the Bible. You know, is it really about doing well for us? Or is it just do what he says? Secondly, and this is the big one, Ezekiel 33 says that their blood, God will hold you accountable for their blood. So if you don't tell them and you know, if you don't, and this is where we're letting you know, because your blood would be on our hands. It's your response. Your response does not determine my success in God, but my obedience to tell you what God has revealed to me determines whether I'll live or not, or whether I will be held, my blood guilt will be on my hands for not telling you. And it is possible for only one or two people to actually believe what God is saying. And there's a lot of people that are hearing what God is saying right here, but you want to be one of them, of responding to it. And so that's, you need to understand to begin with, because they didn't pay attention, but it didn't mean that the prophets weren't of God. They shipped them off to other places. That didn't mean they weren't of God. And they stoned them and killed them. It didn't mean they were of God. Jesus said, listen, that's what he said. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how long to gather you up under my arms, the way a mother hen gathers her chicks up under her wings. But you weren't willing. You who stoned the prophets and killed the ones sent to you. By the Spirit of God, they were warning you, and you rejected God when you rejected them. Mm. So understand, a lot of people have this closet relationship with God. Why they're rejecting God when God comes to them in a form they do not recognize. And it's somebody who has God's Spirit on them is telling you, you're crazy. What you doing right now? That's not of God. This, get in the Word of God. Get the plumb line in your life. Begin to commit yourself to the Word of God. That leads you to a place of confession and repentance, of getting your life right, and then begin to worship God and watch God deliver you. So hardship, in this particular hardship, why hardship? These hardship came because they didn't follow God's commands. They didn't do what God said. Government, leaders, priests, prophets, fathers, in other words, the whole crew. The whole crew. In verse 35, he says, even while they were in their kingdom, think about this. Even while they were in America, even while they were in this beautiful country, think about it. Even while they were in their kingdom that you gave them, enjoying your great goodness to them, think about that. Enjoying your great goodness to them in the spacious skies, in the spacious and fertile land you gave them, they did not serve you or turn from their evil ways. Think about this. This is much of the American church today who call themselves God's people. Even though we're in this nation, God has given us and blessed, enjoying its great goodness, our poor citizen in America, our poor citizen, is richer than 75% of 7+ billion people on the face of the earth. It's spacious skies. I mean, we have songs named about our spacious skies. I mean, when you travel, you find out this is a big country. Somebody says, we need trains and stuff like other countries. Like, it's not that big. You know, we're big. it's a bigger deal for us. And he says, in the fertility of America's land, we have been known as the breadbasket of the world. And God's people, in the midst of all of that that he's given them, are not serving him. They're not responding to him. They're not repenting. They're not turning from their evil ways. I mean, you think about even the lyrics of, oh, beautiful for spacious skies. He says, oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain. That's a blessed land. For purple mountains' majesty above her fruitful plains. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. I mean, man, we even have songs that talk about the goodness of God and the spacious skies and the fertile land And yet in the midst of all this, we don't even credit him for it. And we take his name down. We take his Ten Commandments down. We tell a kid in school just the other day, don't you bring your Bible here. That's a church thing. Don't bring your read your Bible. An autistic child at that, to tell him that he couldn't read his Bible at school. And it's break time. Mm-hmm. And he talks about, we even have songs talk about our liberty and all the things going on. It's like, my goodness. This is us, America. Church in America. This is us. In verse 36, he says, but see, we're slaves today. Mm. I mean, all of that. Think about all this whole journey. Everything he said, all from the moment he was standing and weeping for the state of his people and his own sins and his father's sins. Now, here we are all the way in chapter 9. And he went through all everybody else's stuff. And he says, but now look at us today. He said, look at us today. He said, we are slaves. We're slaves today. Mm. Nehemiah 9:36. This godly man who loves God, who was up under an evil king, who God touched his heart to be able to do what's happening here, he still was in slavery. But we are slaves today. Slaves in the land you gave our forefathers so they could eat its fruit and the other good things it produces. Don't think for a moment, church in America, that even though the country stays here, that we as Americans cannot be in slavery tomorrow. Hmm. Nehemiah is just acknowledging. He says, listen, in the midst of all this whole journey, he doesn't negate their reality. He said, but see, we are slaves today. Slaves in the land you gave our forefathers so that they could eat its fruit and the other good things it produces. And this is very important, because of our sin. Mm. He's not blaming it on a race. He's not blaming it on a political system. He's not blaming it on the pervertedness of people's minds and schemes. He's aware that this has happened because we have sinned. Mm. Let me say that again. We are slaves today, slaves in the land that you gave our forefathers so that they could eat its fruit and the other good things it produces because we have sinned, because of our sins. Its abundant harvest goes to the government. But he says, its abundant harvest goes to the kings you have placed over us. You have placed over us. Do you really think that God's not in control, church? Are you more involved in politics than repentance? Are you more involved in finding what's the news is saying next than finding out what God said and he's been around forever and what his word? Do you really think it's not going to be good? If you have not yet heard The State of the Nation or Josiah, you need to go to VFN TV Store and get it. Understand this, that we are Josiah. And the direction that we're going in is high taxation. Mm. I mean, very high taxation. Somebody says, what does tax have to do with the church? When the church rebels, part of the oppression is high taxation. You know what slavery is? Slavery is 100% tax. Mm. So the higher the tax, the closer or the more parts of you that's enslaved. That's the way it works. Taxes, slavery is 100% taxation. Now, I'm talking about abusive slavery and all that. We're talking about slavery is 100% tax. Mm-hmm. Mm. You work, they take your money, and they decide what they're going to give you. And he said, we know that we're in slavery today, Nehemiah is saying, because of our sin, its abundant harvest goes to the kings that you've placed over us. And this is what, when Israel was rejecting God as their leader through his form of government, Samuel. And if you hadn't gotten SOS, A Tale of Two Kings, and that's Samuel or Saul, you got to choose, is God God or is government your God? They were rejecting God. And this is what God did. God is so merciful. He says, listen, okay, give them what they want. But first, before that, you give them what they want, Samuel, I want you to go tell them what's going to be the ramifications of this. And this is what he said. Your taxes are going to go so high. you're going to regret this decision. Your best of everything is going to be taken by the king. And Nehemiah knew this. He's saying, because of our sin, we're in slavery today. It's abundance, harvest, and all this stuff goes to the king. It goes to the government. You don't think, do you see this blob called government just getting bigger and bigger? That's where we're going. That's where this whole thing is going. And it's going to continue to go if we don't repent. And then he says this. Listen, this is so powerful. This is what he's saying in verse 36. He says that because of our sin, its abundant harvest goes to the government, and you've placed this government over us. Quit blaming who is over us, like they had this whole scheme in context of that. Realize God has allowed this to happen. Jehoiakim was called, that means God set man. And then he says this. He said, they rule over our bodies. Nehemiah is saying, they rule over our bodies. See, everybody always thinks, I could give that up. I could give this up. But understand this. Because it's hardship, because it's discipline, because God's wanting you to turn back, he's not going to let you feel comfortable in your sin and your consequences. He's going to give them, you're going to have control. They're going to have control of your body. I mean, laws are coming out right now. They're telling you, don't eat the sugar and don't do this and don't do. They took somebody's kid away from them in Boston, I believe it was, because they felt like, government felt like that she wasn't a good parent. And it's like, it was nothing wrong. I mean, it was just, it wasn't like an abusive situation. And what's going to happen is you're seeing it happen, where all of a sudden this government that God places over the church and over people, and all of America is going to, don't think this is all of America is going to go through the suffrage. Sorry, it's because of us though, because we've sinned against the Lord and, encourage us to repent. And so in the context of that, then you're seeing it's going to be more and more control over your physical body, over your physical body. Don't eat this, don't eat that. Don't go there, don't go here. I'm going to write you a ticket if you smoke in the car with your baby. We're going to take your child from you if you don't put them into the school system, because we're going to educate your child. You're not going to educate your child. And all of a sudden you start barking up and go, who do you think you are? And it's like, your captor?
Yeah. You can only drink small Cokes.
Yeah, well, think about it. This is what you're going to say. You're going to say you can't homeschool. Mm-hmm. You're going to say, we want to educate your child. We're going to educate your child. Who do you think you are? And this is what they're going to say. You're oppressor. Mm-hmm. God's placed me over you. All authority is established by God. And that's what's happening. He's saying right here, Nehemiah is saying this. I'm aware they were under this oppression because of our sin. These kings, this government that you placed over us, I'm aware why they're taking all of our stuff. And now he says, they rule over our bodies and our cattle, our food. Think about it. And he says, and we are in great distress. You just think you're stressful now in the midst of your blessing. this is my desire now. This is the whole reason. Well, think about it. If I felt like, you have to understand, if I felt like this was a given, God told me to prophesy, I would prophesy. But I have a hope. I have a hope that you're going to hear this. You're going to shake yourself and you're going to be angry at those who did not tell you this. Demand of them to speak truth. And if they don't, you're going to leave and find somebody who's going to speak truth, and you're going to begin to do what's right. And God says, I look for someone to stand in the gap so I don't have to destroy the land. And he will spare this whole present nation if we'll just repent. Mm-hmm. If he finds a core group in this nation that says, I'm going to go after God and prevent this great distress. And so you're under slavery at that point. So you're looking at more and more captivity. And it's like early warning shots across the bow saying, listen, it doesn't have to go this way. The mercies of God is like, listen, I'm letting you know up front. And what's standing in America today, before America today? Well, you think about it, slavery. The definition of slavery is a person whose property is wholly subjected to another. Think about all your property, according to dictionary.com, tells about all your property subjected to another. A person's entirely being dominated and influenced by another person. Another definition is slavery is the very nation God has blessed, rebelling against him, and then him just turning it over to an oppressor, oppressive government. Higher the tax. Yeah, if you got a 10% tax, you're 10% into captivity. You got a 20% tax, you're 20% into slavery. A 30% tax, you're 30%. Somebody says, that's not true. Don't pay your 10% tax and find out what happens. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's right.
You can owe a lot of people, but you don't want to owe the government.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
So you think about a 50% tax. You think about, I think of in Greece or something, they're paying like 80% tax. While people demand more. 100% tax is slavery.
Mm-hmm.
You work, we take it all, and we'll disperse out what we want, whatever that is, based on the bottom line. And it's because of our sin, the wealth and the abundant harvest that God has given us, that God would actually allow this to take place. And they will rule over our bodies. I mean, think about it. The worst. Yes, I know what we didn't do by choice that God is possibly doing by force with the healthcare system, because we do not have it figured out and we need to figure it out. But I think God would give us the wisdom if we had humbled ourselves and repent. But to give it over to an oppressive government to determine whether your mom is going to live or die or not, based on the bottom line, whether you can have a child or not, you got to abort your child. Understand, that is pure outright slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom and tracking devices that are out now, where they're tracking 2 billion people right now on the face of the earth. One company's doing that now, merging with the government. I mean, we are on the edge. And it's like, we can stop and say, you know what? Lord, forgive us. We tend to look at the natural and the horizontal explanations for slavery and start blaming folks. But understand this, God knew. He knew. I mean, Nehemiah knew. And he understood that they were in slavery and captivity because they had turned their backs on God. They had left God. It doesn't mean that those evil folks were not evil. They were there, but God just pulls his hand back and all of a sudden evil folks begin to take over. And that's just amazing. It's like, listen, evil's already, imagine being in underwater in a submarine and there's no water inside that submarine. But if you poke one hole in that submarine, water's going to come in.
Mm-hmm.
That's like evil. It's like the whole time you're not wet with evil is because God's protecting you. But if you choose to turn your back on him and turn away, understand you're poking holes in your submarine. Evil's just going to come in. It's going to come in like a flood. And God will lift a standard up if you'll begin to say, you know what, I'm going to have this standard. When we get to this next program, you got to get it. We're going to bring it home in this next program. Understanding, listen, that God has given us a warning shot. He's telling us what to do, a strategy, how to get the heart of Nehemiah to rebuild the church in America where God would want it to be by his grace. By God's grace, we're going to bring home in this program the heart of Nehemiah and rebuilding the church in America. And we're coming to the end of what we talked about over the previous programs in Nehemiah chapter 9. And it's just been really just encouraging, isn't it?
Very. Yeah.
I mean, there is hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And God's word is a light unto our feet. It lets us know where we're at, and a lamp unto our path. It lets us know where we need to go. And so when you get into God's word, you all of a sudden you start saying, well, this is what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I need to do. And that's what we're finding out. This is what we need to do as a nation. And to prevent what's about to happen in this nation, maybe. And you think about Nineveh. Nineveh already had a set date for disaster. That you think about Jehoshaphat. Israel already had a set date for their attackers coming in. So it doesn't matter whether there's a set date for something. God will change it, understanding what he wants from us. And we've talked about in the previous program, he just wants us to turn to him.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want disaster to come our way. And it's just so, it's like, my goodness. You know. And so I would encourage you, if you haven't yet heard the entire conversation, you can get it at vfntv.com and click on the torch. Possibly you'll be able to get it in the store as well, VFNTV store. But here we are. We're going to kind of bring this home today and talking about, you know, Nehemiah chapter 9. And hopefully at some point we'll get a chance to kind of talk about what we learned in the context of this. And it's so much, I mean, but we'll talk about some of it. But in verse 9, they already went through the entire, chapter 9, he already went to the entire public, because there was personal repentance of Nehemiah, and it always begins with us personally getting right with God. But after, no matter what was built and what was going on, at some point in time, there had to be, God's people had to come to the acknowledgement of who God is and what has happened and what the history is and the goodness of God in God's people's history. I mean, God has just been good, even when his folks, when we've done bad things, he's forgiven us and restored us. But then we got to come to the point, and that's what happened in our last program, where after, you know, Nehemiah talked about everybody else, he said, but us. We're in captivity. We're in slavery today because of our sin. And that's when you start, it brings it all the way home. He brought it all the way home, and he said, you know, we're in captivity because we've sinned. And if you don't get to that point, you're not going to get free. And so this is where it's all coming down. Will God's people do what Nehemiah has already done? Will they say, I've sinned? I am responsible for where we are right now as a nation, as a people, and my family, and whatever. You know, will they do that? This is the big one. They could have just stopped, because everything's contingency. It's always contingency. Will we do what God says? Will we respond like God tells us to respond? And they did. Not only did they do this, but in verse 38, they actually write out this entire thing publicly so everybody understands everything that was done publicly. No, we would say today, when people would actually, you know, document it and put it in docs and stamps and file it away, they would put it up on a website somewhere where the whole world could see it. They just wanted it just out there, totally out there. So after going through this whole process, they said that they're going to write it down, an agreement that this is who we're going to go. I mean, think about that. I mean, today's church, does anybody keep their word, right? Write down my commitment. I'm going to be sorry. I'm going to have tears. I'm going to even celebrate what was said here. But I'm not going to back myself into a corner of obedience. I'm not going to publicly say that I'm going to live my marriage right. I'm not going to tell you. As a matter of fact, there's like these addendums to believers in America where they say, well, you know, I'm still probably going to, you know, fight against my husband's leadership and my marriage. I'm still going to, you know, rebel against my parents. You know how it is to being a child, and you know, it still just happened. Husbands say, I'm still going to avoid doing what's right with God. I'm not going to leave my family in the right ways. And business is still, you know, taxes are tough. I don't know what I'm going to do here. And it's like all these addendums to, you know, but you know, you know, and they're saying, listen, and if we want to get serious, if you get serious with God, he'll get serious with you. And they're saying, we're going to write this thing down. This was not just a gathering, a church, you know, conference thing. We're all pumped up and hyped up. We're going to write down. We're not going to, man, I'm telling you, the enemy stills immediately. Yeah. If you don't write things down and do things to help you remember your commitment and remember what God said to you, and you'll need to know, you'll need to remember. And by the way, God will remind you of your commitment even if you chose to forget it. And in verse 38, this is what he says. He says, in view of all this, after going through all this, in view of all this, we are making a binding agreement, not just some sort of written. We're gonna bind ourselves to this, to you, God, and put it in writing. And not only that, our leaders are going to sign it. And the first ones that are going to sign it are going to be church leadership. The Levites and the priests, they're going to affix their seal to it. I mean, think about it. That's just powerful. When you think about this, and one thing you learn about history, you understand about it that the Nineveh factor and the Jonah factor and the Jehoshaphat factor is that we can respond like Nineveh and repent, and God will respond back to us if we responded to the warning that came to us, but we're going to have to be serious about our response. It's not about, you know, getting a small moment of reprieve. And I really, when I look at history and I kind of see things, I see reprieves, you know, what we call revivals and different things. I kind of see reprieves. I see moments. I see easements. But there's more. There's a great awakening waiting where it changes the DNA of a nation, changes the DNA of your community. It changes the DNA of what the church has been saying and doing. And it just comes into this great awakening of the body of Christ and this huge commitment that says, you know what? That's what we used to do, but this is what we're doing now. And we need to understand that. And it takes that kind of commitment. And in understanding that, that you have to ask God to remove the blinders from your eyes, because deception is what you think you're doing is right when you're dead wrong. You could be killing God's folks, and you could be the oppressor. You could be the very one that's being used by the adversary to be able to divide up and destroy what God is doing in a gathering, in a relationship, you know, in a community, in a nation. I mean, you have to be totally open to what God is saying. And then adjust accordingly, you know, right? Adjust accordingly. Repent accordingly, right?
All right.
And understand that we can take on the heart of Nineveh and repent. We can listen to these warnings of God, and we can repent and begin to rebuild the church in America, taking the same path. Or we can watch our progression into complete control, oppression, great distress. Think about it. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? It's all laid before us. This is the pathway. And slaves are writing this. You know, there has been history where some slaves in the world made a pact with the devil.
Oh yeah.
If you just get us out of here, not American. I'm talking about America. Mm-hmm. I'm talking the slaves all over the world. As a matter of fact, today there's more slavery today than there ever is, I think, in the history of the world, through sex trafficking and that type of thing. But there was a particular, reportedly, that some oppressed people, slaves, made a pact with the devil that if you'll just break us out of here, if you get us free from this oppressor, then we'll serve you. But these folks right here, God's folks right here, Nehemiah, they're saying, listen, we're in slavery, but we're going to make a pact with you, God. That's the difference. You can make a pact with a political party. You can make a pact with a flamboyant leader that you think is going to carry you somewhere. You can make a pact with the devil and darkness, or you can make a pact with God and say, God, you're God. You're God. And we understand how this came here. And I truly believe your word to be true when you tell us very plainly in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13 through 14, when you shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or command locusts to devour our land, or send plagues amongst us. I understand, God, this oppression. In this oppression, if we'll cry out to you, if we'll begin to do what Nehemiah did and led your people to do, if we'll do this, you'll hear us. You'll hear us. You said, if my people, that's us, it will call out to you, call out to your name, call out to Jesus, would humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways and seek your face, that you'll hear us. And you've heard over and over again, your people cry out. And it is our generation, it is our season, and it is our sin, and it is our captivity, and it's a vast army coming against us today that we have to respond, and we have to say, Lord, I looked in the mirror to see what the responsibility, whose responsibility is this? Whose fault is this? I looked in the mirror to see who I could blame, and I found out the blame was on me. We have to own this. But if we own it, if we own it and quit blaming everybody and say, dear God, forgive us for our sin. Forgive us for the sins of our fathers. And you have to own the reality of your father's sins. You can't just brush over and say, well, that wasn't me, and that was him, and that was my grandfather, and that was my great-grandfather, that was my neighbor, whatever. You got to say, listen, that was wrong, and it was unjust, and you have to own it. You have to own it. You have to validate it. You have to understand. You have to look at your real history. You got to say, dear God, I'm so sorry. It is so bad. Dear God, forgive us, and cry out to God. And this awesome, loving, compassionate, faithful, merciful God that we've been talking about is going to reach down and restore us and to forgive us and bring us to a place greater than we've ever seen before. I believe a third grade awakening. Think about it. Was this just amazing?
Amazing.
When you look at the life of Nehemiah and understand, I mean, he had the right perspective. And you look at the biggest thing, I think, that when you look at, and we're just going to talk about a little bit here, you know, and is his ownership. You know, it started with him, you know, and he worked well. He was a man of integrity, did his job, all the things. You got to hear the whole thing.
Yeah.
But it was just, I mean, he was just personally responsible and for his life.
It's so important because so many times, you know, I found that people want to do something. They want to, you know, just jump in and, and get activated and want to do this whole, but they don't have the heart. They didn't start with the brokenness. It wasn't God that spoke to them.
Right, right.
And so that's so important, you know, to have that heart where you can, it's you and God, you know, and God speaking to you and you're burdened and you're going through everything and you're repenting yourself.
Right.
And then out of that, out of that encounter with God and you're following God, something develops. And I think that that's the way to start. I mean, obviously this is a blueprint, if you will.
Yeah, it really is.
To how to build, you know, how to build the walls again.
So the overflow, it's like, it's an overflowing thing. And two, that God put it on his heart to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the thing is that, you know, and maybe, you know, God looks for a man to stand in the gap and you know, God will, does not call the qualified, but he qualifies the call.
That's right.
The called. And that if you'll stand up, maybe, you know, God will put this on your heart to do. But understanding that, that this wasn't his scheming and his ideas and his God strategy that he created, small g God. This was actually what God put on his heart to do.
Yeah. Big difference.
Because when you go before the king, you don't lose your head. You gain something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And if you're called, I mean, think about David. You know, David was faithful in the mundane things. He was faithful at his job. He was faithful to do what his father called him to do. He was faithful working for a tough boss.
Yeah.
You know, King Saul. He was faithful with those around him who were just agitators, his brothers around him.
Mm-hmm.
And he just did his job. He did his job well. And God used him. You think about Jeroboam. You have Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Mm-hmm. But Jeroboam, when Rehoboam made the wrong mistakes, because Jeroboam at that time was a man of integrity, God chose him to be a leader of his folks.
Yeah.
So God responds to you being a man or woman of integrity. It doesn't mean that you don't make mistakes, but it's an oddity for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're wanting to always do better and do a good job. Even if men don't even see it, you know, you're doing it unto the Lord. And so one of the things that you notice that we first got to begin, be men and women of integrity in our workplaces.
Isn't that something that even the disciples, I mean, Jesus called people that were doing something. He didn't call someone sitting around. They were faithful doing their jobs. And I think about Joseph, the same thing. You go all down the list. So these guys weren't looking for positions to do something. Right. They were doing what was in front of them to do, and they did it before God and God alone.
Right,
God
right.
said that one.
And you have to understand, you don't do that to qualify. I mean, it's because those are the ones that God can use.
Yeah.
Because they're not, I mean, you're not going to be able to move a parked car. I mean, if you're not even moving already, if he's got to teach you how to drive.
Right.
You know? And, but yeah, you notice that. And in the context of even being in present day captivity, which is show you when we're talking about, you know, prophetically, if you haven't yet seen some of the prophetic words or heard them, you can go hear them at VFNTV.com. But understand that no matter what happens with government and what happens with mechanisms that men put in place, the church thrives and lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's not over. It's not over just because a form of government changes. It's not over because, you know, your particular candidate or whoever you wanted to be over in your governor or whatever. It's never over for the church. You know, we're going to be with God forever in eternity. The question is, in our present day condition, are we still faithful to God?
Yeah.
Are we still faithful to God? Are we doing what God requires of us? Because you can look at Daniel, Daniel and Nehemiah and so many, did what was right even in the midst of a bad environment.
Mm.
And God honored them for that.
That's right.
My struggle was quite often is like, are we Jeremiah? Are we Josiah? Are we Daniel? You know, because we could just, okay, we're Daniel, yeah. Grab a broom. Nebuchadnezzar says, sweep the floor, you know, here. Not bow down, but sweep the floor. And it's important to understand it's over. If you think the church is America, or you think the church is Mexico, if you think the church is Canada, if you think the church is something like that, and something happens to that nation's economy or businesses or whatever, or your job, you think it's all over because that was your God.
Mm.
But God is not your country. Does that make sense?
That's right. Oh, absolutely.
And so the kingdom of God thrives even in China under oppressive government, where the government pretty much owns almost 100% of the land.
Yeah. The government has their own churches.
Yeah, they have their own churches. And they're forcing abortion for any child more than one. They're deciding on who's going to get health care and who's not going to get health care. If they decide they want a different building on that property, even though your business has been there for 100 years, that they'll wipe it off the face of it and put something else there. They'll push your house over and come up with some idea, or just kind of, hey, it's against some local ordinance or something. Right. Because you were having church in your home, a gathering in your home. But in the midst of all of that, it's the largest part of the church in the world. Yeah. In the world. The largest part of the church in the world is in China. So it doesn't matter. Sometimes, tough times produce a real solid church. It wasn't until, if you look at the history of the church, that it wasn't until Constantine, started making the church comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And we started taking on the culture, the national type culture in regards to, let's have buildings and let's, move into the governmental things like the world has, and, I'll protect the church. And it's like, but we were thriving when we were, what happened when we moved us into this, we're going to be accepted by everybody when we come in. And that's what, the second we start looking to get accepted by men at the cost of not being accepted by God, that's when we made a huge mistake. Yeah. We think God's okay with us compromising our faithfulness to him as long as men like us, as long as the government likes us.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's true. You think of Constantine, it's almost like the gospel spread because the king declared this is the Bible of the land, this is our religion, as opposed to the church getting out there and really advancing. And so it's like, absolutely right.
That's it. And so if you have not yet, I want you to get it. And I'm looking at, just recently, a mom sends her child, she reports, claims that in Detroit, she sent her child to school to be able to read his Bible during the break and all that autistic kid. And the teacher tells him, and this is Fox News reporting this, that the teacher told him, you can't do that. You're supposed to read that in church. While at the same time, they're reading about all kinds of other things going on. In there, and it's like, it's understand this, church. Understand this, that if we pursue and stay in this direction and we do not turn, it's not going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully it's a related article to this, but understand when Rick Joyner and God showed him this particular house and he saw fires on the floor of this house and he would stomp on the fire and put it out. But then God gave him another perspective and he realized the entire foundation of the house was a fire under the whole house.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God was telling him, and that's what God's showing us. America, the America that we know, not that it's going to be here, obviously, but the America that we know right now, there's not little fires popping up in here and there. There's this big flame up under our nation.
That's right.
This inferno waiting to either consume America as we know it, or for us to repent and God to rain down his teachings and put that fire out and begin to say, dear God, forgive us. We've sinned, Lord. We turn back to you. Make sure you get this whole series, this whole conversation. Get it inside of you. Get it from the store. Get it to your pastors. Get it to your leaders. Get it to your teachers. And let's begin this journey truly believing with the heart of Nehemiah that we can, through God's leadership, turn the heart of this nation, the church, back to the place God wants. Rebuilding the walls of the church, the people, living stones, a habitation once again for God.
If you haven't yet met Father God through his son, Jesus Christ, let me introduce you to him at meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. For more teachings like this from myself, Greg Lancaster, and others, go to vfntv.com. You can also download the VFN TV app by searching your mobile phone app store or by going to VFNTV.com. And you'll be able to join us at VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program where we're seeking to educate ourselves on what is taking place in today's world, to illuminate it with God's perspective from His Word, and inspire you in your daily walk with the Lord and to activate you in your destiny with God that He's called you to. For more information, go to VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program is brought to you by our partners of Greg Lancaster Ministries at greglancasterministries.org.